Welcome to the Sales Acceleration Show, where we talk about the science of selling across the areas of demand generation, sales, and sales operation. This show is about doing. We focus on real problems, real solutions with real people, all dedicated to accelerating sales.
I'm Gabe Larson.
And I'm Steve Ehrer. Let's dive in.
Welcome, welcome. We're here at the Sales Acceleration Show. You got myself, Gabe Larson, and my friend and colleague, Steve Ehrer. Steve, how you doing?
Good. It feels like it's been forever since we've recorded an episode in here.
Well, man, we went to Dreamforce, and it was as expected.
It was mind-blowingly big.
What'd they say, 170,000
170,000 people, the entire Moscone Center, south and west, and restaurants were full of different vendors that had rented out. The sky was full of Skywriters at one point.
That's right. I was running around everywhere. You know, it was at they had meetings at the Hilton, at the Marriott, at the Four Seasons, at
St. Regis.
It was everywhere and nowhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Unfortunately, we did miss one person at Dreamforce, and that is...
That's amazing, because I hear that with Dreamforce, with the participants... And the people like you and me who help run Dreamforce for our companies, San Francisco grows by 10% in population.
It's only 10%?
Well, you think about how big San Francisco is.
I guess that's
a lot. Now, what's amazing is this guy that we're about to talk to wasn't one of that 10%.
Yeah, that's right. So normally our friend Steve Richard, who will let him introduce himself in just a minute, is a... Steve, how many Dreamforces have you actually been to? Yeah, that's right. Oh, you want to hear Steve? Listen to this funny story. So I'm doing my booth.
You're gonna have to clarify which Steve we're talking about.
Oh, that's right. I'm gonna call you Air. I'm gonna call him Steve. So Steve, listen to this. So I'm doing my booth duty. I'm at our booth. InsideSales.com has a platinum booth, and what this guy walks by, and he like looks at me like he knows me. He's got a little bit of an entourage. And so I'm like, hey, you know, how's it going? We start talking. I asked him how many Dreamforces he's been at, and he said 14. I was like, 14? Has there even been that many? He's like, yeah, no, I was here from the beginning. The conversation went for about 5 minutes, and then he told me who he was. I should have looked. Who do you think he was?
Aaron, I don't know. It could be... I'm thinking some big names.
It was Parker Harris, the co-founder of Salesforce.
Yeah.
I'm sure I said some dumb stuff.
You're trying to show him around. This is what Salesforce Dreamforce is like.
Anyways, so that was an embarrassing moment from Dream.
It could have been worse.
I recognized him, but didn't really recognize him.
It could have been Mark Benioff.
No, I would have recognized Mark. Anyways, Steve Richard, unfortunately, you know, you weren't there. Well, maybe not unfortunately. It's a zoo. It's kind of a mess. But certainly sounds like you had better things to do. But boy, do we appreciate you jumping on the show, joining us from Arlington, Virginia. Maybe just before we jump into all the good, Steve, you could introduce yourself and tell us some of the cool things you're doing over there at Exec Vision.
Yeah, Gabe, and that guy Mark Benioff, I don't know why he puts it on my daughter's birthday every year, but it makes it a tough decision. This time, Susie with her fifth birthday, she won, but I'm sure no one missed me as the only odd man out. Anyway, Steve Richard, I'm an entrepreneur, been in business for 11 years, and Exec Vision, what we're focused on is cracking open what we believe is the last black box of any sales organization that you can't measure, and that black box is the conversation. And really, no sale happens without a conversation. So we believe, and we've got a growing movement of people who believe with us, that if we can really get inside of that conversation, if we can turn it into data, if we can then understand patterns from that data, we're going to be able to impact in a major way sales performance. And like we said, it's the final frontier, I think, in sales performance.
So at the moment, Exec Vision is focusing specifically kind of on that call coaching aspect. That's where you've decided to take your niche and dive in deep, correct?
That's right. Call coaching, and then also analytics and the ability for software to identify patterns through machine learning and AI and understand things about rapport actually being able to score a call based on rapport, in addition to the human element. So one of the things, Gabe, that we take a pretty strong stance on is there will absolutely be a lot of this stuff happening through artificial intelligence. There's no question. There's also going to be a lot of this call review feedback process happening by human beings. And we see a world where it's the combination of the two. The machines are kind of directing us to where we should look and providing reporting. But then ultimately, a human being is going to provide an intervention with another human being and coaching to get them better.
This is fascinating because as a manager of guys who are on the phone, I've seen guys who are just busting their tail, working hard, doing everything they can, sending out the emails. Everything looks good, but there's something not clicking. And when you start listening to those individual phone calls, it becomes real clear what the issue is. And sometimes that's the hardest nut to crack. You know, it's easy to say, okay, we need to make more effort, but quality of the effort, that's the tricky part.
Well, and this frontier of coaching is, I think Steve knows better than any of us, it's not that there's not technology there, although there isn't, but it's almost like it's just not happening. I mean, this is a nut that needs to be cracked. It's an important part of, I think, sales acceleration, and it's either not happening, there's no tools to do it. It just feels messy in general. So today we're going to get a little bit into the why, who, when, and how of call coaching. Because Steve, with his other businesses and some of his experience, I think has been doing this for years. But before we do that, Steve, we always make guests jump on and give us what we call an OUA, one unique aspect, just so we can make sure we know a little more the personal side or the fun side of Steve Richards. Anything come to mind, something that kind of separates you from everybody else?
Yeah, I'll give you three kind of oddball things. One is I've got four kids under seven, but I think in the state of Utah, that's not that oddball. The second one is my family business is, I'm not kidding, septic tanks. So if I wasn't doing this, I would be selling precast concrete products in Northwest Corner, Connecticut.
Love it.
Nod to Uncle Jim there, who owns the business. And then number three is I used to Irish step dance. Gabe, I can actually dance a jig.
Are you kidding me? Those are three pretty good ones. I mean, like you said, the four kids, talking to some of the folks here in Salt Lake City, I've got three under seven.
My sister had one that was six, then she had a little boy, and then thought, you know, let's go for one more, twins.
Is that right?
Yeah, almost instantly twins. So they had three under the age of three.
Yeah. Although number two, Steve, I got to admit, I think you made a mistake there. I can definitely see you in the septic tank business. That seems like your calling in life.
I'm saying I'm going to call you out on that one. Calling in life was number three.
Yeah, that's true. That could be.
Michael Flatley's got nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Man, I forgot. What did they call it? Oh, the river dance. Yeah, the river dance.
Yeah. No, Gabe, I used to literally go to Fesh's and competitively dance things like the jig, the reel, the hornpipe, and the best thing about it was the girls.
He's got a point.
I was going to say, I would probably, if you're going to tell that story in the future, Steve, I'd cut out the feshes and the big horn and all that weird stuff you just said.
The hornpipe, I was paying attention.
No, that's awesome. So you don't do that anymore. That's done, or do you still do it alone?
No, I don't. I'm not a closet Irish step dancer, but I tell you what, that is a great workout. So Don't knock it until you try it. It really is it's pretty neat, but it is one of my oddballs.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, let's jump into the conversation, because the thing that usually comes up, and you and I have discussed this in the past, but you got to kind of get the monkey off the back here. The concept of Big Brother, the concept of call recording, you know, it's illegal. We're going to get in trouble for it. It's too much. I assume you get hit with that question often. So before we dive into the core content here, how do you answer the question of just, man, what do I do about call recording laws?
Yeah, let's break that into two threads, and I'm going to answer them one at a time. The first is call recording laws. These are the most misunderstood laws out there. We've written a brief demystifying all these laws. If you look at if you talk to most GCs at most companies, they don't know the laws, and there's an education process that needs to happen. In most of the states of this country, you can record the other party completely legally because it's a single party consent state. in 38 states. In the remaining 12 states, it's a two-party consent state, places like Washington State, California, Montana, Florida. Now, of those 12 states, three of them, the laws are really designed for wiretapping. So they weren't, and that's Maryland, Michigan, and Massachusetts. They were never intended to be about a call recording for a professional purposes. They were kind of built more for like a, if you're going to spy on somebody, or if you're going to get a detective to go look at your ex-wife and see what she's doing, something like that. So if they're in the normal course of business, they're fine. Anyway, if you net it all out, what it comes down to is if you have a scheduled conversation, it's very easy. Just ask consent. Hey, Air, do you mind if I record this so I can focus on the conversation and check my notes later?
Yeah, and that actually, in certain conversations, I think that isn't actually a big deal. I mean, certainly, I'm thinking of my old days of selling, whenever I had, and we were going to potentially do like a screen share, I always did that. I always said, hey, do you mind if we record this? I think I want to maybe send it to you after or something like that. So that usually is no problem. So so you're saying there's only...
They do it every time.
Yeah.
So, now you've got the unscheduled Gabe. So that's Gabe, the unscheduled ones, right. The unexpected ones. And now this is where InsideSales.com has a real advantage. And we're actually putting together a brief right now on various sales acceleration technologies. And there's a secret feature. And I know this show is not about your technology, but there's a hidden feature in InsideSales.com where you can record only one side of the call if you're calling in those troublesome two-party consent states.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think you experienced that, Steve. Even... a lot of people at InsideSales.com don't know about that feature, but it allows you to kind of get around or make sure you stay compliant with some of the laws that Steve talked about. So okay, assuming you're able to, you know, actually record a call, and I'm a big proponent of it, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty here. I mean, when it comes to thinking about call recording, what does the current landscape look like? I mean, are managers actually getting in and coaching, or are we seeing that that's not happening very often?
No, it doesn't happen hardly at all. And if you look at and this is like an age-old problem, Gabe. I mean, we've been talking about this problem for 15 years, more than that. Managers don't coach. You look at research from the Corporate Executive Board, managers self-report out of all these different competencies, 2,400 sales managers, their best customer and market knowledge. They say they're very good at that. They're very good at rewarding individual sales performance. You know what they said they're not good at? Coaching. Dead last on the list.
Why do you feel like that is, Steve? Is there some sort of qualitative feedback that you've gotten as to why managers are not capable or not doing this?
It's because it's hard, Gabe. That's the challenge. It's too difficult. And I just got off the phone with an SVP of sales and marketing at a company called Entertainment Cruises. And he said, we've been doing call recording and coaching and review for 10 years. And I said, how is it working? He goes, well, my pain point is it's just hard. It just takes so much time and all the burdens on the managers. So one of the big insights that we've received is flip the coaching paradigm and model on its head. And we see our best companies, our best customers do this. People like Kevin Dorsey have figured this out at a company called Snack Nation.
Yeah, no, I was just on the phone with Kevin.
He was on our
I did
a webinar.
Oh, we did a webinar.
Gabe.
That's
yep.
right.
And we're gonna have that webinar on the podcast.
Yeah,
that's coming
right.
Up.
That's right. Yeah, Kevin's a great guy. So he's nailed it. What? So how's he nailed it? What's the secret?
The secret is have the reps own part of it. Make them do some work. So what he does is his reps will use Exec Vision. All the recordings from Inside Sales go into Exec Vision. They comment on their own calls. They tag parts of their calls. They identify keywords. The reps do some work. They have to watch their own game tape first. Then they share it with their manager. The manager then, the job of the manager of trying to, how do I find something that's worth coaching? How do I find a coachable moment in the call? How do I organize this so we can all sit there and listen to it at the same time? All of those problems that sap time disappear. So whereas for the companies that we're working with previously, the manager's self-report, if I'm going to coach a rep on a call, it could take me as long as an hour to do that. Now, afterwards, what we're hearing is for a manager to coach a rep on a call, they can do it in 5 or 10 minutes. because yeah, they can get right to the stuff that matters.
That's funny you say that, because that's not, I'm like, that's not rocket science. I mean, again, coaching has such great ties to athletics, and you know, I'm a big BYU Cougars fan.
That's unfortunately.
That's cool. We got kind of a BYU Utah kind of
difference
rivalry
is my
thing
team
here.
Wins.
Yeah, let's not talk about that because I really don't have anything to say. But you know, I was talking to one of the players, and that's just the way they do it. They sit down actually and watch their own game filmed, and then they break it down with a coach after. And so they come with their arms full, ready to discuss and debate.
But isn't it funny though that we always like these sports analogies in sales, always, except for when it starts to come to reviewing and what happens the Monday after the Saturday games. In sales. We want to be like, well, this guy's a rock star. He does what he does. I don't want to get in his way. Peyton Manning was reviewing tape.
I know, weird, right?
You know,
it's weird.
I mean, everybody reviews tape, so it's funny how we have that hesitancy to do it because it's hard.
And you know, Air. I get a lot of flack. I get a lot of flack from people who are not sports fans who will say, "Hey, you know, give me another metaphor. I'll give you another one that's really interesting." Cirque du Soleil. And if you look at Cirque du Soleil, and let me ask you guys this. When's the last time you went to Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus?
Oh, it was probably like 6-7 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
we had free tickets. Last time I went to Cirque was like 2 years ago when I was in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
For
that
sure.
That was five,
everyone,
probably.
You know, I mean, like Cirque is just completely eclipsed them. And if we're going to go and invest in it, what are we going to do there? Now, what does Cirque do differently? Their performers have to watch the recording of their every single performance they do, which is almost extreme.
Wow.
If you look at that type of discipline, if you want to be the top in your field, and it doesn't matter what field that is, how can you do that without reviewing your own performance?
No, you know, interestingly, we run this weekly podcast, and we're now hitting some decent numbers in downloads and listens. And one of the things Steve and I make sure we do is we listen to each episode and we break that down and get after it. I mean, just to hear our own talk track and how we work together and some of the questions. So I think it's applicable in, you know, recording studios in circus. I didn't really think, to be honest, but obviously
it's
athletics.
It's a great analogy, you know, but it's, I was giving demos of us last week at Dreamforce. One of the great things I had is we were switching off and, you know, we weren't recording the demos and we're giving them pretty regularly. So we weren't able to go ahead and review each one, but we made sure that after each demo, I would go and meet with the guy I was demoing with, and he would give me feedback, or I would give him feedback. And the demos that we did at the beginning of the week at Dreamforce it got so much better by Friday. Friday we were demo experts because we constantly did that review and that coaching every time we did a demo.
Hey, Eric, can I jump in on that?
Please.
This is the next big insight that we've received, just like flipping the paradigm that I mentioned before. The next big insight is this notion of making it an opt-in program, because there are also people out there that are going to be resistant. They're just not going to do it.
Right.
So what we do is we have all of our customers put a field on the power dialer, and it's just a simple checkbox. And if they want coaching, they check the box. Pretty straightforward. So that way, later on, when you're trying to figure out, well, where are we gonna get the material for coaching? How do we find a coachable moment? One of the ways we can slice the data is say, only show me the calls where the rep has asked for coaching and feedback. This is something that they've raised their hand, they've requested it, they've said, help me. That was a huge insight. And then, Gabe, that goes back to your whole big brother that you asked me about earlier. Because
absolutely.
If you're saying help me out, and Air, if you're there and doing a demo and you're looking at your colleague and saying, what can I do better? People value more what they ask for than what's freely offered. It's one of the rules of human communication.
Yep.
I love that. Well, you know, we've found that in our own product, you know, with our new playbook product that's coming out. I mean, you've got to get to that rep level. The rep has so much power, the millennial, the autonomy that they desire, the concept of Big Brother or forced, you know, structure isn't working. You've got to basically teach them principles and have them kind of raise their hand. I love that model. I love
Steve,
that model.
Is that on each on the call individually or as a whole? Coach me.
Oh, each rep, when they disposition their call on Power Dialer, they will select, hey, I want coaching and feedback. So they do it after the fact because you can't think of it in the moment. And it's on each individual call, but then you can aggregate report against it. So one of the things you see when you report against it is for some reps, they just never ask for feedback, like ever.
Yeah.
And for the ones that are really good that don't want feedback, I'm probably still going to leave them alone. Let's be honest. But for the ones that aren't and they're not asking for feedback, we got a problem. We got to fix that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good too, because when I was a rep, you know, from my first job and whenever I was getting coached or looked at, it always seems like my manager, my coach got the one call that I like, please just don't coach this one. Don't listen to this call. And that's the one they would pick. Now, when there are ones where I say, you know, I felt like that was good, but I want to take it to the next level, I can you'd be able to flag that and say, all right, let's look at this and break it down. What worked and what didn't? I love that.
So, Steve, let's. I want to ask a couple more questions here. I'm at InsideSales.com. We obviously have a couple hundred sales reps. When we think about who should coach, does that anybody who manages a team? Is it the director? Is it only the frontline manager? Who's kind of the ideal person that should be thinking about call coaching?
Yeah, if you want to create a coaching culture, Gabe, and that's what most people tell us, they want that culture of continuous feedback where people look at each other. It could happen at the peer level. It can happen at the manager subordinate level. It can happen at the skip level, where there's a second level leader, like a VP, who skips the manager and provides feedback. And it can also happen with the training enablement L&D kind of audience. Got it. So really the answer is everyone. And you go back to football. Does the head coach not watch game tape? No, they do. Does the position coach watch game tape? Yeah. How about the players? Yeah. Do they look at each other's game tape? Yeah.
So you've got to have this culture of coaching where everybody starts to participate and watch how we perform. Yeah, that's probably right. So the last thing, and then we'll kind of wrap this up here, is I think a lot of people get stuck is in the how. We talked a little bit about the why, the how, the who, etc. Do you have not a game plan, but some sort of framework or guide that you would say, hey, look, when you sit down and actually do this, here's how I'd recommend starting to think about a coaching structure that will really help you get to kind of first base in your coaching efforts. Man, we're just full of sports analogies today.
I know.
First base? Boy. My goodness. Anyways.
Yeah, and the answer is yes. And I would go so far as to call it a game plan, because what we did is we studied what the best coaches do, not just in sales, but also what the best coaches do in athletics. And we developed a 7-step process from that. So the first step is let the rep self-assess. That's number one. They usually figure it out themselves. Step two, lead with something positive. And Aero, that's what you were talking about, where as a rep, if the manager picks that bad call, if they still lead with something positive, it does good things in your brain. So certain chemicals like dopamine are released as opposed to cortisol. Cortisol makes you want to run away or fight the person. So you want to lead with something positive. It opens their brain. Then step three is only give feedback on one or two things. If you try to give feedback on more than one or two things, we coach way too much and people will get overwhelmed. So that's really what happens in the moment are those three steps: self-assessment, lead with something positive, focus feedback on one or two things. Then after that, you got to practice to get them right. So the best practice there is put the chairs back to back. We're in inside sales. If we're doing a role play, it should not be looking at each other. We don't have that benefit on the phone. So put your chairs back to back, praise the desired behaviors, track the progress over time, and then ultimately celebrate. We want to celebrate the success.
I love it. Well, Steve, we'll wrap this up. Really appreciate you being on. One of the things we've got to mention, well, you're probably better than most. Steve Richards has become kind of the call coach. It's weekly, isn't it, that you run your call camp, Steve?
It was. I went to a monthly game. It's a lot. I'm looking forward to having you. We had one yesterday. We had 400 registrants yesterday, and about 200 showed up.
I love it. And every month What Steve is doing is you can actually submit. We'll make sure we put it in the show notes here. You can actually submit a call, and Steve and one of his honored guests kind of break that down, look for best practices, provide feedback using some of the technology that Exec Vision provides. So, Steve, is there any other way we could or the guests could contact you if they wanted to continue the conversation?
Yes, please. And I'm passionate, especially about the how do we operationalize this, because nobody disagrees with this idea of call recording and game tape, but it's a question of getting past the legal hurdles, technical hurdles, etc. So Steve, just email me, steve@execvision.io. I have a ton of resources. I'm happy to share them with you for free. So steve@execvision.io, or you can submit a form on our website, but just email me directly and I'll help you out.
Love it. Okay. Mr. Ayer, back to you.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. Please, those of us listening, listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can subscribe all those places and have it downloaded directly to your phone, your computer, whatever you want to listen to. Email us any questions that you have or comments, suggestions, complaints for Gabe at podcast@insidesales.com. You can also find us at Twitter, @GabeLarson and @SteveError. I know Steve Richard, he's also on Twitter with @SRichardV. I'll edit that out.
What are you trying to say they're error, huh?
He's not done that before. You better not edit that out.
I may have to. My mom might listen to this. All right. You can look for us on LinkedIn. We are excited. We walked the floor of Dreamforce. I think Thursday we're going to have our Dreamforce episode out, kind of some of the sounds, some of the people that we met, some of the people that we talked to. That'll go out later this week, probably Thursday. If you, like I said, any questions, email us. And with that, let's get at it.